Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Let's open our Bibles tonight to Psalm 42 in this series on the release of the Spirit. We've been looking at how there's an inner man and an outer man, according to the Word of God. And the inner man, of course, is the spirit man. And when you make Jesus the Lord of your life, you're born again, and your spirit becomes one spirit with the Lord. Isn't that an awesome thing to know that you and the Holy Spirit are one like that? That there's really no distinguishing difference between the two of you. That you're one with Him. Everything He is in you. That's who you are. When you see Him, you see yourself. That's why when we look in the Word, it's like into a mirror. Because when you look in there, it's reflecting the Word of God. It's reflecting the Spirit of God. It's reflecting the life of God. It's reflecting you. You're born again spirit. So there's a whole lot in there, in these earthen vessels. In these bodies of ours, there's a whole lot in there. And we want to see what's in there come forth, to come forth and shine in this world. We want the life of God to be manifest, or the life of Jesus to be manifested in this world. In fact, let's just go back there over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we were closing with this last time. He says in verse 8, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Isn't that good news? You know, it's pretty easy to crush an empty can. But it's very hard to crush a can that's full and sealed. You and I have been filled and sealed with the Holy Spirit. And so even though there's outward pressure that comes against us, you and I know, bless God, through faith in the greater one that's on the inside of us, we will never be crushed. We'll never be crushed. No matter what happens in life, no matter how bad it looks, we will never be crushed. Glory be to God. Because of what's on the inside of us, we're full. Full of God. And sealed with the Holy Spirit. So we might be perplexed at times. We don't know everything that's going on or why this happens or why that happened. But we're not in despair. We're not getting depressed over things. We trust God. If we don't understand it, we know someone who does. Amen? And, you know, it just hasn't caught up to our minds yet, that information. Of course, we know everything on the inside. But what's on the inside sometimes takes a while to get to the outside, get into our minds so that we understand what's going on. But we just trust God. When we don't fully understand what's going on, we trust Him. I've had Jean ask me things at times. She'll say, you know, well, what about this? And I'll say, I'll get back to you on that. I don't like saying, I don't know. I don't like saying, I don't know, because I know all things. Does the Holy Spirit know all things? Well, then bless God, I should know all things, right? Yeah, on the inside, I know all things. Well, that's right here in the Word of God, too, over in 1 John chapter 2. I believe around verse 20, he says, you have an anointing of the Holy One, and you know all things. Wow, hallelujah. That's written to us. Somebody say, I know everything. Now, don't be a know-it-all. Dear Lord, praise God. Don't get puffed up over it. Praise God. But we do know all things by the Spirit of God. Amen. Not because of our educated heads, but because of our spirits being filled with the life and wisdom of God. So until it catches up to our minds, I'll get back to you on that. I'll get back to you on that. And until then, I trust God. He knows. He knows what's going on. Verse 9, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. What does that mean? You know, if something's dead, it doesn't do anything on its own. I mean, you know, the Bible says over in the book of James, the body without the spirit is dead. What causes someone to literally physically die? Their spirit leaves. When the spirit leaves, the body dies. Which tells us right there that the life of the body is the spirit. Right? No spirit, the body just dies. Well, now we're not talking about literally physically dying because we don't want to do that yet. We got a job to do down here. However, just like the spirit leaving the body causes the body to physically die, the spirit not cooperating with the body causes the body to be as good as dead. Where the body is just, it can't do nothing. Why? Spirit isn't letting it. You got to understand. Say, hey, body, if I was to leave you today, you would drop dead. So you know what? You're not in control. You should tell your body that once in a while. Just tell your carnal mind that. Remind yourself. Remind the flesh of that. You know. Say, now, if I was to leave you, you understand you'd be dead. So you understand, flesh, you're dependent on me, spirit. You're completely dependent on me. So we're going to do things my way, which is the same way as God's way. See? So you're not going to be in control of this situation. So the body is as good as dead. And that's what we're talking about here. The dying of the Lord Jesus. A crucified flesh. A crucified outer man. An outer man that cannot do anything on its own anymore. It needs permission from the Spirit. And you discipline your body. And you teach it. That you don't do it your way anymore. Sometimes you got to slap it. No. Discipline it. Discipline isn't always a pleasurable thing. But, you know, sometimes your body just needs some help. And when we're not doing a great job of disciplining ourselves, many times the circumstances of life will help. Slap the flesh around. It just will. Now, does that mean that God is the one that's bringing trials and tests and adversity against us so as to slap the flesh around and discipline us? No. That's not how God works. God, in the New Testament, works in a believer's life from the inside out. He's not working in our circumstances to try to change us. He's working in our hearts now. All right, and we hit on a scripture last week over in Ephesians chapter 3. Just hold your place where you are, and I'll just quote it to you. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. It says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ever ask or think. Okay, now notice that there. I want you to see that. He says, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. That's where God's working. He's strengthening us from within. He's helping from within. He's working on us from within. Colossians chapter 1. In verse 27, it says, them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope of glory. Now again, glory is what? That's the manifested awesomeness of the Almighty. Manifest. Everybody say manifest. God wants to manifest on your life. He wants to manifest through you, all right? And Christ in you is your hope or confident expectation of the glory of God or the manifested awesomeness of God on your life. The fact that you know Christ is in you should cause you to know something else, that he shall manifest on me. He shall manifest his wisdom, his power, his strength, his love, his goodness, whatever needs to be manifested, he'll manifest it through me. Just as sure as you believe he's in you, you got to believe because he's in you, he's going to manifest through you. You're going to experience his glory. Christ in you is your confident expectation of the glory of God. Now, verse 29. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. Where does he work? Where's God working? He's working in me. He's working in me, okay? And through him working in me and manifesting through me, we are together changing things around us. That's how things get changed around us. It's from the inside out. God's not coming at us from without as an adversary. God's not coming at us from without with trials and tests to try to do a work in our life. God's not coming at us with symptoms of sickness and disease, infirmity. He's not coming at us with strife and all these different things from without to try to do a work in our life. He doesn't work from the outside in. Now, under the old covenant, he did a lot of talking about outward things to the believers back then, as we see in the Old Testament. As we look through the Old Testament, we see God dealing with them according to the outward circumstances of life. Why was that? Because they were spiritually dead. They didn't have the life of the Holy Spirit in them. This is a new day. That's why God hardly ever talked about the devil under the old covenant to the Jewish people in the Old Testament. Hardly ever talked about the devil. Now, the devil, we see him all over the place. We understand adversity, trials, tests, sickness, disease, all these things. Jesus came on the scene and he uncovered. That's the work of the devil. That's the work of the devil. My Father is working from within. Hallelujah. And this is a new day, praise God. Through my sacrifice on the cross, my blood being poured out, you're going to be washed of all sin, all guilt, all shame, and you're going to become the temple of, your bodies are going to become the temple of the Holy Spirit, and my spirit's going to live on the inside of you, and out of you shall flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. From within. God's working on the inside. We got to understand that. There's still so many Christians running out. Circumstances, things breaking down on them, one thing after the other. Okay, God, what's up? And God's like, what? What's up? It's not God's fault. God's not doing it. Come on. When we see stuff falling apart around us, where do we need to go? We need to go inside. We need to listen to our hearts. We need to draw near to God where he is in the Spirit. And in the Spirit is all kinds of wisdom. Our answers are in the Spirit. They're in us. And if we'll go there and get the answers, then we can rise up and manifest that answer into our circumstances and change our situation. Things will change, praise God. But it's from the outs, from the inside out. Stop looking for God to change things on the outside. That's your job. That's your job by the Holy Spirit, by your yielding and flowing out of your heart, out of the inward man. You and God together in partnership as one are going to change outward things. Don't just sit back and expect God to start zapping things and changing things out here. Got real quiet on that. God works from the inside out. Come on. Hallelujah. That's where he is. That's where you'll find him. You don't have to go very hard, far. That's why I love what he says over in Romans 10. Man, I got to finish scriptures here. I still got to come back to that. Romans 10. He says, you don't have to turn to it, but verse 6. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Come down, Lord Jesus. Come down, God, and rescue me. Come, God, come. Come and manifest out of heaven. He says, don't say that. Didn't he just say that? Do not say. You should underline that in your Bible. Do not say. I heard a song not too long ago, and the song was all about asking Jesus to come down. Come down, come down, come down. It's like, hey, if he said don't say it, then that means probably don't sing it. It's pretty clear, don't you think? Don't say that. It's not how we talk under the new covenant. The righteous of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. Well, remember, the Bible says he sent his word and delivered them. Right? Delivered them from all destruction. Delivered them out of all their problems. How does he deliver us? His word. His word. And notice he says, his word is near you. That wisdom that you need, that strength that you need is where? It's near you. How near? How near is it? I'm glad you asked. Even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. The word of your deliverance, the word of God's wisdom, the word of God's power. It's near you. It's right in your own heart. Now, put it in your mouth. Yield to it. Begin to manifest it. Begin to speak it forth. Speak out what is in your heart, praise God. Release by faith the life and the power of God that is in you. Stop catering to the flesh. Flesh is not going to dominate us anyway. Why should it? It is dependent upon the Spirit for its very life. Why should then the Spirit be depending on the flesh? That's ridiculous. So you tell your flesh, you need me. And you just sit there until I'm ready to use you. And your flesh is like dead. It's dead. And so, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says, in verse 10, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, which is a dying to sin, a dying to self, right? Dying to the flesh, the outer man. How many people know Jesus never sinned? His flesh was completely dead, so to speak. Totally. He could have delivered himself from the cross. He didn't do it. Jesus, you got to sin. Jesus didn't just die on the cross. Jesus died his whole life. He died his whole life. His whole life he was dead. He was dead to the way of the flesh. He was dead to doing things his own way. And he had his own way according to the flesh. When God became man in the person of Jesus, he took on his own will. He took on his own will according to the flesh. His own wants, his own desires. And we see it very clearly in the Garden of Gethsemane, right before that mob came to take him and have him crucified. He said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. So which tells us right there, Jesus had his own will, and his will, according to the outer man, his will, according to the flesh, didn't always want to do what the Father wanted. His will was, I don't want to do this. But yet he rose up from within and submitted his will to the will of the Father. But he didn't just do it there in the garden. He did it his whole life. His whole life. From the time he came to the age of understanding sin and rebellion and God's way of doing things and the wrong way of doing things, when he came into that age of understanding, he died to his own will. And he was always about his Father's business. Come on. He was always about his Father's business, doing his Father's will. So his whole life, he was dying. He died. Died. That's the dying of the Lord Jesus. We're following in his footsteps. The dying to our will. The dying to what we want according to the flesh. So when we're talking about the dying of the outer man, it dying to the life of the flesh and your own will and your own opinions, that's so that a greater life can be released and manifested through you. And it's the life of Jesus. Notice that. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. What is that? Dying to sin, dying to self, dying to our will, not my will, but your will be done. Dead. You're not doing your own thing. Dead to that. We carry that out all the time. So that. So that what? That the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. The life of Jesus manifesting in our body. So we're dying to self so that we can see the life of Jesus more in manifestation in our life. And again, that is an absolute fullness life. That's an abundant life. Verse 11, for we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Sometimes it'll look like you're going to die for the Lord, but praise God, you'll come right through it and experience more life. Experience more life. Manifest in our mortal flesh. How many people want to see it? See more of the life of God manifested in you. Amen. We want to see that. So again, just like we see here in 2 Corinthians 4, though we're hard-pressed, we got pressures, we're perplexed, there's persecution, there's all these outward things coming against us. And as they do, what should they be doing to a person of faith? Should we be just trying to fix everything? Fix everything. You got to watch it. The devil's got folks running around. I mean, he's got folks running around trying to put out fires all over the place. You know? And if you're an outward person, if you're an outward man, Christian, man, you're going to be running around putting out one fire after the other, and you'll never do what God's called you to do. There's people that are running around tonight. They're not even in church. They got to put out some fires. We got to put out some fires. And just about the time they get that fire out, another fire springs up over here, and they got to put that fire out. And the devil's just got them just running around, just mocking them, laughing at them. All these Christians just running around like chickens with their heads cut off, running around trying to fix everything. That's not how we are. Come on. That's not the kind of Christians God's raising up around here. We're folks that when things are going on outwardly, we go down deeper to where our answer is. And you'll find many times down in that deep place, there's nothing for you to do about what would seem like major situations in your life that you have got to fix. And you got to fix it now. There's people you have to fix. And you have to fix them now because they're going to ruin your life if you don't. There's circumstances to fix. Huh? All kinds of things to fix. And then you come down here. You see, Lord, there's a lot of things to fix. What's going on? Lord. And you get down there and it's just quiet. It's just quiet. And it's like, you know, Lord, I'd really like to hear something right now. Can you tell me about this situation? He is. It's in one word. Peace. Or maybe three words. Peace be still. Huh? Or how about stand still and know that I am God. Huh? So many times you'll find God just telling you, neutral. Stop. Shh. Selah. Stop. It's going to be okay. I got to fix this now. If I don't, no, you got to stop. You got to stand still. You got to do what He's leading you to do. You got to follow the convictions of your heart. And it's in those times, man, the flesh could be screaming the loudest. But that's also the greatest opportunity to teach that flesh a lesson about dying. It's a great time to teach the flesh that you're not in charge because I'm not following you. I'm not following you, and I'm not following the devil. There's a God who will make this crooked place straight if I don't get in his way. You know what? One of my greatest prayers to God is, don't let me get in the way. Don't let me get in the way of you, God. That's the biggest thing. Don't get in his way. Don't insert foot in mouth. Say things that he's not leading you to say. Don't run around and try to fix everything. Look off it. And I'm telling you, when the greater the pressure on the outward man, when you are just calm and not moved by it, oh, like I said, the greater the lesson it teaches the outward man about dying. Teaching it, you're not in control, flesh. You're not in control. Somebody say, I'm going down deeper. That's where we go. We go down deeper. Psalm 42. Psalm 42 in verse 7, it says, deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. Now, we were just hearing about, in the song we were just singing, about God's grace like waves, his salvation like water, just going over us. Just going over us. Praise God. And that's true. I said that's true. We'll talk more about that. But when I look at this, when I look at the waterfalls, I see three different possibilities of what these waterfalls are. First of all, what were you just talking about? When it seems like the whole world is crashing down over you. When it seems like the whole world is crashing down over you. There is a voice within calling us to come down deeper. Down in the depth of your being. Where the peace of God resides. Hallelujah. Things are crashing. Mighty waves are coming. Billows are rolling over us. Seems like our whole world is falling apart. Seems like the judgment of God is falling on us. But in the midst of that, there's a voice. Down deep on the inside of you and I. Calling to us. Don't be impressed with the circumstances. Don't be impressed with the waves, no matter how high they are, how loud they roar. Don't be impressed with those things. Come, hear my voice. Come down deeper. Come down deeper where those things have no effect on you. Deep calls to deep. God is deep. He's working in you. He's a deep God. And he's working in you, in the deep of you. Your spirit is deep. Your outer man is superficial. Light, easily knocked around. Easily knocked around. One good wave, man, and you're tumbling. Huh? Something just, a wave just hits you, just blindsides you, you know? Wham! And you're just rolling. Outer man, just get knocked around. Just get knocked around. But there's a deeper part of you than that outer part of you. And that's the part of you we want to see. That's the part of you that we want to manifest in those times of trials and tests, in those difficult times. There's a deeper part of you. God's calling us deeper into Himself. So let the waterfalls push you down into the deep place of God. Someone says, I just feel like I'm being pushed down. Praise God. Now, again, if it's just an outward being pushed down, yeah, you might end up a pancake, and that's not good. You can get so pushed down, you get squashed. But no, being pushed down ain't bad. Let that stuff push you back into Him. It wants to crush you, but it can't because you're going down deeper. You're listening to that inner voice. That inner voice that's on the inside of you. And I love what it says in Proverbs 20 in verse 5. It says, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water. There's counsel in you. Think about this now. The counselor himself, the Holy Spirit, is in you. Again, 1 John 2:20, you have an anointing of the Holy One in you, and you know all things. The counsel of God is in you, and it's like deep water. Deep. It's deep down in there. But a man of understanding will draw it out. Draw it out. What does that mean? That means you're bringing it up and out, thus manifesting it in your situation. Manifesting the counselor himself, the wisdom of God. You know, God don't have to say much. He don't have to say much. It's amazing. God can say one word and change everything. Just one word. I mean, Jesus just one-liners, man. Just one-liners. And he's got people. He's got the media around him. He's got everybody in there. And, I mean, they're attacking. They're assaulting him. And he would just come back with just one-liners. And they'd just be like, and then you read places where it's like they say things to him. He gives them a one-liner, and then they go. And then it says, and they dared not question him again. Isn't that great? That's the life of Jesus. That's the counsel of God. And it's in you. Ooh, hallelujah. Solomon had all the answers. People came from everywhere to hear the wisdom of Solomon, didn't they? I mean, kings and queens and, I mean, all kinds of came to hear his wisdom. And the Bible says that there was no question too hard for him to answer. He could answer all the questions. Why? Spirit of wisdom. Spirit of God was on him that way, see? How much more you and I? We got the Spirit of God, the counselor himself, living on the inside of us. Friend, get excited about going down deeper and hearing from God and being a spiritual person and not being a carnal person. Because you will never get backed into a corner ever again. They'll push and things will come at you, but you'll have the answer. And the peace to be able to stand in that situation and not retreat in fear. It's all in there. It's in you. This is what you got. Now, if you don't know this, you can't get excited about it and get in faith about it and believe for it and look for it so that it actually happens. If I get up here and keep telling you, you're just an old sinner, dirty, filthy worm, never be perfect, only God's perfect. I keep telling you stuff like that, then you're going to be a dirty, filthy little worm. That's how you're going to live your life, because that's what you are. But thank God you're not. Now, according to the flesh, you are a dirty little filthy worm. But thank God. Actually, you're a snake, a lot of you. But that's the flesh. That's the flesh. That's not who we are. That's not the real us. Come on. We're not going to let that snake. Keep the snake underfoot. Keep the snake under your feet. Sometimes the snake is in your own flesh. It's your own flesh slithering. And sometimes just you got to rise up in the inner man and say, no, you're dead. You're dead. You're dead. It's done. It's no longer I, according to the flesh, that liveth. It's Christ that lives in me. Isn't that exciting? Glory to God. The counsel of God is in you. Woo! Glory to God. It's like deep water. But a man of understanding. Who are they? People that come to Life Faith Bible Church or watch the Living the Life broadcast. They get understanding. And what do? They draw it out. They draw it out. You draw out that counsel that is in you, because you go down deep. So let the waves and let them roar, and let the water falling push you down into that deeper place in God. And then also, I believe these waves and this waterfall can also be the anointing of the Holy Spirit, an anointing from without that falls upon us, that falls upon us. The noise. Notice what, again, it says here, deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. These waterfalls, these anointings of the Holy Spirit, they make noise. They make noise. And it could be the noise, perhaps, of the anointing in the preacher's voice. The preacher's voice. God is calling. He's calling. Or it could be the noise of an anointed shout. Someone under the anointing of the Holy Ghost gives forth a shout of faith or praise. Praise God. Or someone groans under this anointing, or someone else laughs under this anointing, and something happens. That noise triggers something in us. It triggers something in us. This shouldn't be foreign to us, what I'm talking about. There's things people can say under the anointing. There's a noise they can make. There's a sound that they can make. And when it's done under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it does something in our inner man. It triggers something on the inner. It pulls us down deeper into our inner being, where the Spirit of God is. There's things that can be said. Things can happen by the anointing of God. God's so good. He gives an anointing upon in order to strike a chord in our inner man, to cause our spirit to rise up, hear the sound, which causes us to become more spiritually conscious, so that we're functioning more out of our hearts than out of our flesh. Huh? Come on. I've been around people, and they just make a little sound. Psh! Somebody shouts under the night. There's people that yell in the flesh. Hallelujah! It's like, that's not what I'm talking about. But there's folks that can shout and praise from that deep place. Come on. And the deep in them is released, and it calls to the deep in you, and causes the deep in you to rise up. The deep responds to it. You know, there's sounds that your flesh will respond to, and there's sounds that your spirit will respond to. Anointed sounds. Sounds that come from the deep will call to the deep. But sounds that come from the flesh will call to the flesh. That's what they will do. Not just sounds, actions, things in life. Things that proceed from the deep calls people into the deep. Things that proceed from the flesh calls to the flesh. Flesh calls to flesh just as much as deep calls to deep. I want to live out of the deep so that my voice, my words, my presence, my answers does something to people. It brings them down deeper. It triggers something in their spirit. It causes their spirit to, I hear that sound. I hear that noise. I hear that. And now the spirit man has been, like he's been sleeping, now he's been activated. He's been sleeping almost the sleep of death because the outer man's been doing the living. The outer man's doing the living. And the spirit man's been sleeping the sleep of death. But then that voice, someone does something in the spirit. Somebody does something in the spirit. And that spirit man gets up. Gets up, wakes up, gets stirred up. Because it hears the call. It hears the call. And so, you know, that's another thing we got to watch, because if we just surround ourselves with fleshy things that are calling to our flesh, and then we went, I don't know why I'm so fleshy. Because you're just exposing yourself to fleshy things. And that's what fleshy things do. It calls to your flesh. And there's so many little gadgets today. There's so many little things that just keep the flesh coming. So many little things that just keeps, it keeps speaking to, it keeps triggering things in the flesh. Just keeps triggering things in the flesh. Stimulating, exciting the flesh. And then we wonder around why we got so many people walk around just so outwardly stimulated. So outwardly stirred up. We got to be listening with our heart for the deep things of God. Listening to those voices, those anointings that speak to us. Can you say amen? And then I believe also in creation itself. The Bible says that the creation is preaching. The creation is talking to us. You know, sometimes a good thunderstorm stirs my inner man up. I mean, I just think about heaven. I think about the throne of God where there's lightnings and thunders, and you just begin to think on the majesty of God, how awesome he is, and you see the wind blowing, and you see these, or you see the sun setting and the sky, it looks so heavenly, and these things can speak to us also. Speak to us and trigger something on the inside of us. It's deep, even in the creation. There's things in the creation wanting to bring glory to God. And they're calling to our spirit. The things in the creation aren't here just to gratify our flesh. Prosperity and good things are not for the gratifying of the flesh ultimately. Good things create good feelings, which causes us to experience more of him and be drawn more towards God. Sometimes it's the smell, a fragrance of roses or something, and it just triggers you, draws you towards God, because you got that kind of mind. You're looking for God. Psalm 91. How many people are excited about going deeper? Isn't it great to know you don't have to run around? Huh? Try to rescue yourself. You're not everybody's answer. A lot of people take a lot of responsibilities upon themselves that belong to God. Amen. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to do what he leads me to do. Jesus went where the Spirit of God led him to go. He didn't follow needs. He followed the Holy Spirit. And there were times where it looked like he was cruel. There was a woman that cried out to him, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." He answered her not a word, didn't even answer the woman. And I'm sure, according to his natural mind, his own will, he's thinking, why am I doing this? You know, this doesn't look good. Preacher ignores desperate woman crying out for him. But he just answered her not a word and just kept going. Just kept going. She cried out all the more, "Thou son of David, I'm my daughter's demon possession. He's bleeding, my little girl, my little baby. Jesus, Jesus." And he'd answered her not a word. Man, that's tough. That's tough on the flesh. For a whole bunch of different reasons. How that looks to others. You look uncaring. Huh? You got to do something. And just your own human compassion. I mean, you got your own human compassion. But oh, thank God, Jesus didn't follow human compassion. He followed the compassion of God. The compassion and love, that unconditional love of God. That's what he followed. And sometimes it looks tough. Tough love. It looks tough. How could you treat them like that? How could you talk that way? How could you ignore them? How could you do that? You don't love them. You don't love your family. You don't love these people. You're selfish. But the love of God's not moved by that. It does the right thing. It does the right thing. Lord spoke to my heart a long time ago. He said, it's more important to be right than it is to be polite. You know, now polite's important, but it's more important to be right. And sometimes we put being polite and politically correct and looking right above actually being right, which means doing things according to the Spirit. Jesus answered not a word. And you know what? It turned out to be a victory, didn't it? It turned out for a complete deliverance in that woman and in her child. Total deliverance. Turned out that way. Didn't look like it was going that way, but it did. See? We're following the Holy Spirit. Following the enemy. So it's just so exciting that we don't have to run around and try to fix everything. You don't have to try to fix Alfred. Thank God. Amen. People try to preach the gospel. People, you got to understand this. Jesus said, they try to ram the Bible down people's throat, try to bang it, and it's all out of fear. Quoting scripture, they try to act lovely. Now, honey, the Bible says, and the Bible says, and you really should, and you really should, and you really need to. Well, the inward man's going, as the outward man just does all the spiritual work. And the outward man isn't even spiritual. He's not even spirit. But he does all the spiritual work. Isn't that terrible? We got so much of that today. I got to get close in here. We got so much of that today. There's so much outer man who is not spirit doing spiritual works. Which, no, that's impossible. We speak the spiritual words of God. We have spiritual looking services. Everything looks spiritual. And the spirit man is, he's completely out of it. He hasn't been a part of anything going on. The person got born again years back, you know. And the first sound of that little newborn babe in Christ. I want the milk of the word. The milk of the word. And the outer man said, movies. Movies. More movies. We're going to rent movies. And have time for the word. More work. More money. Money and movies. And then the whining stopped. Talking about the newborn babe in Christ. It stopped. And from that point on, the sound was, and yet we go to church, we read the Bible, we teach. I got a Bible study I get to teach. Spiritual things should be done by the Spirit. Spiritual things should be done by the Spirit. Many times they're not, but they should be being done by the Spirit. Okay? So thank God, Spirit man rising up. Can you say amen? All right, Psalm 91. Psalm 19. Did I say 19? Well, it's 19. Do it backwards. Just turn it around. Praise God. Psalm 19, which is Psalm 91 turned around. Praise the Lord. Isn't that great? How did I see 91? Isn't that something? Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Watch this now. The heavens declare the glory of God. It's declaring it. That's a sound, isn't it? And the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through the whole earth, and their words to the end of the world. See, even in the creation, the glory of God is being declared. The glory of God is being proclaimed. And if we're listening and we're sensitive, God will bring us into wonderful experiences in life that don't cater to the flesh and cater to materialism, but it will draw out of you the gratitude of God, the faith of God. It will stir up your inner man. It'll inspire you to live more fully for God from your heart. Amen. I mean, the blessings of God in this world should have a humbling effect on us and should stir something in us, stimulate something in us. Fresh air. Oh, hallelujah. Fresh air on the mountains, praise God, should stimulate something. It should cause us to be drawn more to God. Or standing there on the beach looking at the ocean, or just walking through a field, going through a park, or whatever the experiences might be in life, God prospering you, giving you good things, it shouldn't be making you dull and insensitive to God. It should be stimulating your heart, because in it you're hearing the glory of God being preached to you. That's what you're hearing. You're seeing God in it all. Can you say amen? Because that's what we're looking for. We're looking for God in everything. Hallelujah. Come on, stand on your feet with me tonight.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.